It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesday's with my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble getting my camera to turn on. I'm in a hotel room, but I can hear you loud and clear, but I'm not on your video stream.
Well, that's fine, Dr. Craig. A lot to talk about, as always. So you are, as you move around the state celebrating 40 years of Citizen Action, where are you at today?
I'm in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. This was our last of five celebrations. It started in Milwaukee in early March. So we had a huge turnout last night. I think seemed like most of the elected officials in the region, all the state legislators, state senators, folks like that, people running for all three candidates for Congress up here in the highly contested third congressional district. So it was a good night. And I talked about the role of understanding our roots and our history and what our daddy is in trying to figure out what we need to do now in the present and all with all the crises we're facing this year, Earl.
You know, a Citizen Action, Dr. Craig, for those who aren't familiar with it, let's talk a little bit about what Citizen Action is.
So we're founded 40 years ago as the Reagan era was just getting started, and the rollback of a lot of the major advances of the 20th century and the New Deal and the Great Society. And in Wisconsin, and a lot of great progressive legislation that originated in Wisconsin. And so we're statewide. We do contest in elections because elections are where issues are discussed and where we decide who lawmakers are going to be and governors and presidents and make the decisions that affect our lives. And we work, and because we work across the state, we actually work very hard, or our members do, to bridge the urban, rural, suburban divide. We know a lot of the problems in our country is the deliberate division among people who live in different places, that don't look the same, et cetera. And that prevents us from solving our joint problems. So we're very deep in healthcare reform, guaranteeing healthcare not as a commodity as it's treated now, but as a right. And in fact, up here in the Chippewa Valley, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, and I know you have stations up this way, there's been a massive series of closures of two major hospitals, 90 clinics, because one of the health systems simply pulled out. And it's because we deregulated the hospital industry, let them build giant monopolies, simply seeking profit. And the two larger systems, Mayo and Marshfield Clinic, put the other out of business, but don't provide a lot of the vital services that are less profitable, like mental health. Basic access and critical care that the system that went out of business in this region did. And so it was very much like, it looked just like Walmart putting Shopko out of business. Remember Shopko?
Yes, sir.
Used to be our and it's understandable. One's much bigger than the other, can undercut it and take away its major sources of profit. That's what's happening in hospitals. And this is life and death. When Shopko left, okay, some people liked what they offered better than Walmart, but it was not the end of the world that you couldn't buy your clothes or VCRs or TVs at Shopko. It is if you can't get the medical care you need to be healthy or you can't afford it.
You know, Dr. Craig, one of the reasons why I just love Citizen Action and you and what you guys do, it's for people who don't even know you're fighting for them. And, you know, this for more times than not, Dr. Craig, people are so consumed with just trying to make it through a day, right? They don't have time to understand the inner workings of all the things that make their life much more difficult. And the fact that, you know, there's still somebody out there, even though, you know, those of you who are fighting to make sure that people have a better opportunity, Dr. Craig, is very small, and you're not financially well healed to deal with the people you're trying to, you know, explain and educate people about. You're still at it. Why are you guys still at it?
And let me, I'll say a little bit, because I talked about this last night in my presentation with all of our members and supporters up here. I'll relay it back. Milwaukee is in the New York Times this morning, and I'm quoting in it, so it'll relate back to what we're doing in Milwaukee as well. But what I talked about is when we founded the first large scale republic, right, which was thought by many to be an unworkable concept. This is it at the founding. It was understood that it didn't just occur because people voted and then you had wise leaders who acted in the public interest. It's because people got involved in voluntary associations, very much the way they do in churches, but the political version. People self-organize themselves, decide on what they want to do, and they affect the system, right? They affect lawmakers, they affect elections. And that has decayed in the United States. That's one of the primary reasons there's a threat to democracy, because we used to be a nation of joiners. And there was a lot of people who wrote about the United States in the 19th, early 20th century, and people were members of everything around in the community all the time through various associations. And TV began to atrophy that. Social media made it even worse. And then the pandemic actually drove an even more virtual world. And so that is what separates people from each other. People don't know each other on their own blocks at all, know nobody, are alienated, lonely. That makes them vulnerable to this totalitarian propaganda that we're seeing take over one political party. So it's always been people who are willing to join together and work to bring others in and communicate with others that's been the lifeblood of democracy. So what I was trying to urge all of us to do is to bring more people in and to talk to as many people in a structured way as possible in this election, or to save the basic structure of democracy as it's in threat. Now, there's a New York Times story this morning about Milwaukee and all of the money that President Biden has won in his very successful first 2 years in office, when he had Democratic Senate, Democratic House, including the huge climate investments. And it does interview David Crawley.
Crawley is the county executive, and Cavalier Johnson is the mayor of Milwaukee. Go ahead, Dr. Craig.
So I'm quoted at the beginning of the piece, because what's hard for people when they decide whether to vote and how to vote is they are unaware of all of the massive investments already making a difference in Milwaukee that have been made possible by President Biden and those two Democratic Congresses. And so this, I talked about how that communication problem is a threat to democracy. And the fundamental thing is to people, because government's got so complex, the money comes in all sorts of complicated programs and agencies. You don't know when they put speed bumps on your street, right? But they try to curb reckless driving and curb bump outs to prevent reckless driving, that came from President Biden. They don't know, with that massive array of solar panels that went up around the airport, or the plans underway to solarize a lot of the aging Milwaukee public schools. They're over 80 years old on average, that is coming because of decisions made by President Biden and Democrats in Congress and opposed by Donald Trump before that. He will remove all of that. And that's true all over the state. What voters are supposed to be able to do is retrospectively judge the performance of candidates in terms of what they believe and their self-interest and the quality of their life. If they don't know what people did because it isn't reported well, it's all complicated, that's a threat to democracy. Then they're just voting kind of like it's like which gladiator will get the favor of the crowd and not be executed versus which will be allowed to live. It's not really a rational choice. And so their interviews in this New York Times article, there was one woman who was all excited about the reckless driving measures that I mentioned, and they asked if she was going to vote, and she wasn't sure. So then you're going to have a certain amount of people that aren't even going to vote, even when they know something really good happened they wanted. But the point is, they at least need to be able to make that choice. At least that woman talked to the reporter, at least had the information. What she does with it is her right, of course, Earl.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is. I listened to candidate Donald Trump this morning on a conservative talk show. This morning, he's in Waukesha this afternoon. And I'm listening to Donald Trump, and man, he's saying the same thing he said, you know, when he ran for office the first time around. Well, crime is high everywhere. Inflation is high. You know, they haven't, the Democrats haven't done anything. You know, we've got to fight the Democrats. And there's nothing of substance, Dr. Craig. There's nothing that he's saying tangible that you can put your hands on to say, that's why I'm going to vote for him. He's just saying things. Well, you know, they've got me tied up in court right now, and they're going after me because they don't want me to be the president. I mean, just nothing. He's saying nothing. And yet, you know, we're still in this tight race. Excuse me. For the life of me, I don't understand it, Dr. Craig. I just don't.
Now, I'm not a professional wrestling fan, but it's like watching professional wrestling and Donald Trump's friend, Vince McMahon. In fact, a French philosopher, Roland Barthes, wrote a famous article about pro wrestling as a metaphor for the bad kind of politics and how they work the same way. So he's just doing whatever they do, hip flips, flipping them over on of his opponents. And that's all he does. And so there's a whole lot of noise signifying nothing, right? Though what is important right now is, my God, the whole media is punting and misleading tremendously on these campus protests. And I had on this morning, not only Morning Joe, but Fox and Friends, and then my old friend, because I was on his show a number of times during the Act 10 protests, Stuart Varney on Fox Business, where he and Jim Jordan were doing a lot of disinformation this morning.
So, Dr. Craig, hold that thought. 844-967-2789 is Wednesday. That means Wednesday's with my good friend and guest, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action on the Earl Ingram Show. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It is Wednesday. That means Wednesday. It's with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So you can say what you will, Dr. Craig, about Joe Biden and you know, as people do. But what you can't, you know, dismiss is how effective he's been. Biden administration admits that marijuana isn't as dangerous as heroin and moves to declassify the drug. After all of these decades, people who have known that marijuana should never have been classified in the same ratings as heroin and opioids and all those other things have not been able to do what President Biden is about to do. Declassify, you know, marijuana. It sounds like a little thing, Dr. Craig, but when you think about all the people who've been locked up and whose lives have been ruined because of possession of marijuana, you start realizing bit by bit, President Biden has been making changes in our country that haven't been the right you know, things, some things that have certainly, he can't change everything. And big things are hard to change. But this may seem like a small thing, but declassifying marijuana, Dr. Craig, is a big thing.
Yeah, it's refreshing because it's fact-based. And it's unfortunate. The Republican Party didn't used to always be not fact-based. But now they're willing to just keep saying things like marijuana is uniquely dangerous, where the research doesn't show that, where prohibition doesn't work, where people are, hundreds of millions of people are using it, right, in right. some way or another. And all these states have legalized it. In fact, to Wisconsin's detriment, our gerrymandered legislature is preventing it. So we lose the revenue to Michigan, Illinois, and Minnesota on our borders. And you see the billboards telling you to, when you're heading up to Eau Claire, where I am now, to continue on to Minnesota to get cannabis. And so it's nice to see something just actually fact-based. And you're right about it's more than just that. It's a lot of people have had their lives damaged or destroyed through over-incarceration based upon this. And it creates criminal records. We know that when people, particularly when they're young, have early interactions with the criminal justice system, it doesn't make them less likely. It makes them more likely to have further problems, which is an example of how we've created a criminal justice system that doesn't help people, doesn't keep them out of trouble, that actually harms them, right? In tremendous number of ways, and harms their families by ripping apart the social fabric of the communities that have been over-incarcerated. And you know, there are zip codes in Milwaukee that have among the highest incarceration rates historically in the country, and you have high percentages of people that are either on parole or formally incarcerated and no longer under any kind of supervision. And you find that out when you knock on doors to get people to vote. You get completely clean-cut working people saying, "Oh, I'm still under supervision, so I'm not allowed to vote."
Yeah, it just is nonsensical. Let's go to the phone lines and Cindy from Appleton. Hey, good morning to you, Cindy. Your thoughts?
Hey, Earl, Dr. Craig. Well, first of all, it's not the criminal justice system. It is the injustice system that is criminal. And I think this would be huge if Governor Evers did this. I mean, the domino effects of this, people just don't understand, not to mention the money that it will save us. And I'm hoping that the people that are in prison for these petty violations of marijuana and small drug-related things are released from prison so we can start knocking the tax roll for the prison system down to a more manageable number and then put that money into education. And the Republicans are always talking about they don't have enough people to fill jobs. Well, let's put the 22,000 people in prison that don't belong there out into the system and see how that helps with the job market.
Cindy, you are a very perceptive woman. Because you are right and concise on everything that you said, Dr. Craig.
And in fact, Governor Evers, to his credit, put this in his budget, last two budgets. The gerrymandered legislature doesn't represent the people, simply ignored all of it. There was some talk about them doing medical marijuana, and they couldn't even bring themselves to do that. But it's on the ballot, Cindy, this next election, because we now have fairer maps. And so controlled legislature could change hands. If it did, then the law would change here in Wisconsin. So I think this is a sleeper issue politically. We know abortion is going to be a huge issue. And we know that abortion rights are threatened again, not only by if this legislature continues, but by another open Supreme Court seat coming up in the spring. But for marijuana, for those folks who are sick and tired of either needing to technically violate the law or have to drive to another state, right, and overspend to do it. And you think about how much money we could get for underfunded public schools who are going to referendum after referendum just to meet basic services and losing teachers because we've gone from one of the best states to teach in the country since the early part of this century to one of the worst. Think how much money could come from taxation. But President Biden was able to do it himself as far as reclassifying how you regulate marijuana. Governor Evers doesn't have that authority, but he will put it in his budget. He needs a legislature that will then keep it in the budget.
Hey, Dr. Craig, if somebody, because I know you got to go, but if somebody wanted to know more about Citizen Action or join Citizen Action, you've got branches kind of all over the state. Can you give us some information on that?
Yeah, our website, citizenactionwi.org, but you just web search Citizen Action of Wisconsin. It will come right up. We're very active on social media. They call them the socials. So Facebook, especially, what used to be called the service formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram. And so those are probably the best places to find us. If people are more old school, our number is on our website. If you'd rather, some people who prefer making a phone call. And all of our contact information, we're an organizing organization. So if you just want to look up our organizer in Eau Claire or La Crosse or Wausau or Green Bay or any of our organizers in Milwaukee, all their contact information and mine is on our website.
So Dr. Craig, I know we got to leave it there for now, but we will certainly look forward to reconvening our conversation on next Wednesday.
I look forward to what we can see when the dust clears, so we get some clear reporting of what's actually happening in all of these police clashes with students just idealistically concerned about a human rights atrocity going on in the Middle East.
I wish I had more time. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Say hello to all the other Citizen Action members for me. 844-967-2789 is the number. Lots to talk about on the other side. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. I tell you, I really don't understand our government, what's happening, and as the American people just remain silent. In the face of things that are happening that just make no sense whatsoever. So what am I talking about now? So Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, has said that the Congress will act on what is going on in universities across this nation, the protests of what's happening to the Palestinian people in Gaza. And so, according to Mike Johnson and others, they believe that anti-Semitism is happening over these campuses all over the nation. I don't know. I'm not there. And so when they say that at the root of all of this is anti-Semitism, you know, but when the young people speak that you see on television and read about, they don't say, I don't hear them saying any anti-Semitic things. I don't see them attacking Jewish people as a whole. I'm just going by what I've heard and what I've read. They're talking about, you know, what continues to happen in Gaza, 34,000 people killed and counting. And what continues to be, you know, people who are going to, you know, die of famine. This is happening. And so, and for the, you know, for the most part, that's what many of the people are protesting. And yet the Congress can find the time to pull itself together and then say, we are going to act on this, but the Congress can't find time to pull together and work on the other issues that impact and affect all of us as citizens. I just don't understand that. 844-967-2789 is the number. Let's go to Bill from O'Connor-Wall. Good morning to you, Bill. Your thoughts?
Good morning. I'm just amazed how the far right can make the campus protest the worst thing in the world when January 6th was worse than that. When I was young and you were young, Earl, we had kids being shot on campus.
Yes,
we
had Kent State. Yeah, Kent State, right.
And here's why the far right picked this as their merry-go-round of chaos. They picked it for one reason. They know it could hurt Biden. That's all they care about. And Netanyahu, a lot of these people are protesting. Netanyahu's a criminal like Trump. If he gets out of office, he's going to be prosecuted. When that horrible devastation happened in his country, he was asleep at the switch. And here's what I mean. The Israeli intelligence group is some of the finest in the world. Finest in the world. Not bad, great. He dropped the ball. We give him billions, and this is what happens for our investment in Israel. I would be just thoroughly upset with him. Now, I don't condone any, and I know you don't either, Earl, any of this violence on campus, but if some kids are camping in tents at a university, I can think of a lot more important stuff to worry about, like our children
Bill.
Being...
So Bill, let me ask you. So when those young people are talking about 34,000 Palestinians being killed and the numbers continuing to escalate and the famine, how come we don't hear about that part of it?
Because the far right has no use for humanitarianism. They never did. They don't want to help our students. They don't want to help our health care. They don't want to help anybody but themselves. They're a very self-centered group. And humanitarianism, and you're the biggest humanitarian I've ever met, Earl, by the way. I think, and I'm not teasing, this isn't a joke. We joke a lot, but this is pretty serious. If you were in charge, it had already been squashed and over. Because you're right. They don't want to talk about the real stuff that's important. They want to do anything that's driven by politics.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Bill. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Malik from Racine. Good morning to you, Malik. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Earl. Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to comment and say that with regards to anti-Semitism on campuses, it's actually a great thing because on campus we're seeing a lot of organizations that are Jewish-ran sponsoring and voicing their voices for Palestine. So there's a lot of Jews speaking for Palestine. And as of right now, all over the country, I haven't seen one Palestinian demonstrator try to, you know, say inflammatory remarks towards, you know, Israelis to try to get them to, you know, commit violence. But I've seen the opposite. I've seen Israeli organizations come and speak like extremely toxic, you know, verbiage to try to incite violence or try to say, hey, they're saying anti-Semitic. They're trying to like get the Palestinian crowds to speak on anti-Semitic chants, but nobody's biting because this isn't about anti-Semitism or hate. This is exactly the opposite. It's supposed to, you know, encourage, you know, human rights for Palestinians, but for Jews as well. So it's not something that's just unique for Palestinians. This is for everybody. And, you know, God willing, with such a turnout for Palestine, once justice is served in Palestine, we should turn our eyes to the Uyghur situation, to Sudan, to all over the world. If we can voice our voices, for good and create justice for the rest of the world, we should. And that's why, again, you know, when we go back and I was listening to earlier in the show, when you talked about the Vietnam War, I have customers that come to my restaurant that served in Vietnam. And I actually, as an American, we study about Vietnam. We learn about how America, we kind of turn our backs to the soldiers. And that's what we're seeing like now is that our folk, we're more knowledgeable about what's going on. We're more in touch. It's not the common soldiers that are going to you know, fight these wars. It's like this military-industrial complex that's basically benefiting off the backs of the common folk. And that's one thing I on a later show that you mentioned is that the problem in this country is that this country used to be great because there used to be a thriving middle class. But now it seems like the opposite. It seems that for my generation coming forward, that's going to be extremely difficult to maintain a middle class because the things and opportunities that our parents had, we're no longer going to have. You know, what we were making, or when they were making $40,000, $50,000, they were able to afford, you know, relatively a pretty comfortable life. But now everything's increased, you know, tenfold, and their salaries have only increased 10%. So it's like we can't catch up to how everything is becoming more expensive. Our generation is not going to be able to live that standard of life that we're accustomed to because things are just way too expensive and our salaries haven't matched that yet.
So Malik, let me ask you this before I let you go. So the Congress, it's Speaker Mike Johnson and the Congress are going to step in and address what's going on the campuses with these protests. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, man?
Well, again, Earl, for me as a Palestinian, as an American, I've known that there's been foreign influence on our Congress. When our Congress is being paid millions of dollars to send billions of our dollars to overseas and foreign policies and foreign wars, they don't have American interests at heart. And this has been evident from the beginning since I've been a young person to now. And now it's just been a lot more exploited. Like, people are becoming more aware. You can follow channels on Twitter, and they indicate exactly how much money each candidate has received from, you know, foreign lobbies like AIPAC. I think when I last checked, Tammy Baldwin, she received almost $430,000 from AIPAC. Ron Johnson received over $300,000. So these are just Wisconsin politicians that have received, you know, millions or thousands of dollars, whereas like guys like, you know, Ted Cruz, he received almost $1.4 million. I forgot what was the figure for Joe Biden, but regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, it's almost evident. Like, it's not even a theory anymore. It's not a conspiracy. It's nothing. It's pure evidence that American politicians have been bought out, and they're willing to sell it our American tax dollars for their own benefit, essentially.
Hey, Malik, so, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Also, I agree with Malik. Money and politics is at the root of all of this. Citizens United. Anyone that doesn't know about it, please educate yourself about Citizens United and the amount of legal bribery that has happened within our system through the conservative Supreme Court, may I say. Earl, I have a question. So why is it that on these campuses, okay, the leaders of the school can say, okay, now we have heard you, especially if it's students on the campuses. If there's agitators or whatever from the outside, I don't know what you do except for maybe, arrest them or whatever it might be that's causing violence. But if you have peaceful protests and now you have an issue, who are the leaders behind these movements? So basically you could take 10 people from one side, 10 people from the other side. You could actually have a debate in an auditorium now that the protesting is done, so we could actually come to a common consensus between the two. That's what college is supposed to be about. It's about learning. It's about figuring out how to do things, not through just war, but actually being able to communicate with each other to actually find solutions. So I just don't understand why it is that they don't lower the temperature, except for the fact that the media loves anything that, you know, that bleeds, it leads. They can never go with a peaceful protest where that would make the news. But what do you think about that in terms of, okay, let's, now that we've gotten these things, you know, calmed down by the police or whatever, someone come out and say, hey, look, we heard you. Now let's have a debate. Let's actually, let's really have you be heard. Not just by your protesting, but let's actually have it just like you do, Earl, when you have a show and you have different points of view.
Well, you know, Tom, one of the things that I don't think we should be doing is having the Congress step in and determine what's going to happen on the campuses. It's not the place for the Congress. You know, if the Congress can't deal with the everyday issues that impact and affect the lives of the American people, yet in this instance, they can step in and come up with, you know, the ideas and plans, and we're going to govern in this manner. I think that's something that should be questioned. They can't deal with any of the other things that people are struggling with, but in this instance, they're going to step in and they're going to make these decisions on what people should be protesting, why they should be protesting, and whether or not those protests should be broken up. I don't think that's the place for Congress. It hasn't ever been before, and it shouldn't be now. 844-967-2789 is the number. The phone lines are always open on the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I was talking a little bit about the fact that Congress is Mike Johnson, the House Speaker, wants to step in and have Congress kind of control what's going on these college campuses. And I just thought that, you know, it's not a place, I think, for the Congress to step in. That's something that should be done by the local people. And Congress has more than enough issues to deal with. Let's go to the phone lines and Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. You say what?
Hey, General. Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, we have a country with affordable housing issues, food insecurity, people who can't afford child care, can't afford health care. We have homeless veterans, for God's sakes, hundreds of them. And our Congress wants to go to war with the students on campus. I mean, and then they talk about anti-Semitism. Look who's calling the kettle black here. These Congress people, I swear to God, it's time to vote all the bums out. We need to start over.
Hey, Cindy, you know, you said it better than I could. Thank you very much for the call, and thank you for participating. Let me Let me say this quickly. I got an announcement to make. America has 750 military bases all over the world in 80 countries. 750 military bases in 80 countries all over the world. It costs $180 billion a year to keep them functioning. Let me run down the top 13 other nations and the amount of bases that they have around the world. France has 5. Don't forget, we have 750. Saudi Arabia has 21. The United Kingdom has 60. Japan has 1. Italy has 1. Israel has 1. Australia has 2. And China, the people that we're terrified of that's coming to get us, 1 military installation base outside of their land. The United Arab Emirates have 3. India has 3. And Turkey has 3. We have 750. And so when we keep hearing people talk about the drumbeats of war, it's the reason I had Roger Crandell and Mark Foreman in, because I think people need to know exactly what's going on in this country. They're not aware. And I thought if they once you knew, you would realize that, you know, we got to figure out, it makes no sense for us to have 750 military installation bases. We're only 4 million people. I mean, we only make up 4% of the global population. Only 4% of the global population. And we've got 750 military installation bases. Something's not right. And as the American people, we got to look at that. And then we need to bring pressure on those who you know, have us going in this direction. Let me talk about tomorrow's show. Got a great show lined up for tomorrow. I'm going to be joined at 8 o'clock by Patrick McGarry. And we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. Now, we hear people talking a little bit about artificial intelligence. I hear it. I don't know the magnitude of it. But Patrick McGarry and I are going to have an in-depth conversation about artificial intelligence, what it is, where it's headed, the impact of it in the future on your and my everyday lives, the impact of the jobs that'll be lost, who's making the money, you know, and why, you know, these chips, what are the chips? Most of us hear chips, we don't know what that is. You know I don't or didn't. But we're going to have an in-depth conversation tomorrow with Patrick McGarry about what's happening in this country and across the world, the impact of chips on the future of this country and the future of the world. It is an amazing, amazing thing. It's terrifying in some aspects, but in other aspects, what these things are able to accomplish and what they're able to accomplish with this is amazing. Calvin, you know much about chips?
I might know a little, but I'm looking forward to learning more for sure.
Yeah, man. I mean, the chips, you see video games, right? And all of those, the way the video games have, back in my day, we had a video game called Pong, man. You've never seen it, right?
I've seen Pong.
Well, I remember when Pong first came out, and we were all excited, man. Wow, we could look at this. And it was a line in the middle of the screen and two balls, and you could go back and forth. And we thought that was spectacular.
Oh, yeah. Video games are out of this world these days. And then with virtual reality coming, it's insane.
That's from the chips, right?
Yes.
And what those chips can do. Now, the other side of it is, you know, the chips, the robots. And I was talking with the gentleman I'm going to have on tomorrow, Patrick McGarry, about what I've seen, the changes. And, you know, some people are going to be left behind, Calvin. When you bring that kind of technology to bear, people are going to be left behind. Anyway, wish I had more time. We got to go. Up next, Jane Madnair and Greg on Madnair On Air. I want to thank Roger Quindell and Mark Foreman, as always. Thank all of you. Get out and enjoy the weather, 70 degrees. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.